Reuben Job was a retired Methodist bishop. I had been reading his work for years, was a huge Reuben Job fan. And one time when I was talking to a friend, imagine my shock when my friend said, you know, Reuben Job lives right over there. Right over where? Well, he's retired to the Heritage. That's where he lives now. Are you kidding me? No, he's a couple of blocks from you. And that started a series of frequent meetings with me and Dr. Job. The man could pray. Oh. Have you ever been around somebody that when you closed your eyes, you wouldn't open them because you knew Jesus was in the room? That's the way it was with him. Having somebody who could teach you, somebody that you knew could help you understand some of the deep things of life. We talk about mentors. We talk about coaches. We talk about somebody being a disciple of this or that leader. But what would you do if you found somebody who could teach you life? That's what Nicodemus found. Famous passage in John 3. Stand with me in honor of God's word. And there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God was with him. Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, unless someone's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can anyone be born again when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I tell you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where the Spirit comes from, where the wind comes from, or where it is going. So it is everyone who's born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Jesus replied. Truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify about what we have seen, but you don't accept our testimony. If we had told you about earthly things and you don't believe, then how will you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he's not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. Like Nicodemus, we come to you. Teach us, O Lord, what you taught him. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now I know, you're looking, how in the world is he going to get this sermon in 5 minutes? I don't know either, but we'll try. You would have liked Nicodemus. Okay, I know you've always read this since you were a little kid, and you've read about Nicodemus being a Pharisee, and you've made some assumptions about Pharisees, but Nicodemus was a good guy. He was just trying as hard as he could to love God as best as he knew how. And yet there was something lacking when he heard Jesus teach. Jesus had something that Nicodemus knew he always wanted but had never been able to find. It wasn't lack of effort. Nicodemus was a very serious student of Scripture. There was something about depth, something about quality. Jesus had it, Nicodemus wanted it. And so Nicodemus comes one night to talk with Jesus. And Jesus slams him at the beginning. Have you ever watched a boxing match and a guy get knocked out but not fall over? You ever seen that? Heavyweight champion, he got bam, and the guy just kind of stands there like his body's doing a check. Are we knocked out? I think we're knocked out. Then he'll fall over. That's exactly what happened to Nicodemus. Teacher, we know you are from God. Unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you'll never see the kingdom. What? Bam. Nicodemus didn't know what to do with that. What am I supposed to crawl back inside my mom and start over again? What do you mean? How am I supposed to be born again? Since Jimmy Carter was elected president, that phrase, born again, has been part of the English vocabulary here. And we'll always talk about somebody being born again. If they had a bump in their career, if they lost something, then they come back strong, then they're born again. A musician will have two or three bad albums, then they'll come out with a new one, and oh, this musician is born again. And you and I, when we talk about all the born again, we're like little kids hearing the children's sermon. Remember, you come down and sit, no matter what the preacher said, the answer was Jesus. You know, what's the answer? The answer is born again, born again. We don't know, have any idea what that means, okay? Now, I was a kid at seminary who was always sitting in the back going, that won't work. That won't work. I know you've got it all diagrammed on the board, but it won't work in real life. So what is it that we talk about when we talk about born again? All right, I'm going to break it down for you Alabama style. The key word in this passage is the word believe. Believe. It has nothing to do with emotions. Okay, we always think about this moment when I was saved and I just cried and boy, I got all spine. That's wonderful. I'm glad we have the emotions of our lives. Emotions add the color to our lives, but they are lousy decision makers. Okay? How many times have you got in trouble and you end up telling somebody, well, you know, I felt like I was doing the right thing. Okay? Emotions are great. Love them. We don't trust them to make decisions. The word belief is a decision of the mind and the desire. Amen. This is what I want. And because this is what I want, I'm going to put my weight down, which is what belief means, to make your stand on the person and the teachings of Jesus. I believe Jesus is who he says he is, so I'm going to trust the words that he says. So I'm going to listen to what Jesus says. I'm going to apply those teachings. I'm going to put my eye on Jesus. I'm not going to put my eye on anybody else. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. As I study his word, I'm going to take those things I find in Jesus' life, and I'm going to put them into my life. Okay? This is a decision. All right? I see grace in Jesus' life. I'm going to put grace in my life. I want the grace you have. Teach me how to do that. And so, the next moment, I'm in a conversation, and I am tempted not to be gracious. I will choose grace because I have chosen Jesus. Okay? Now, the reason this is important in the confusion of our world is that Jesus answers those fundamental questions you can't answer anywhere else. The first question, who are you? We live in a time in our culture when a lot of people are confused because the wrong people are telling them who they are. Jesus says, this is who you are. This is the way I've made you. This is what you're good at. I don't need you to do anything else. You know this. We talk about this all the time. One of the things that we do is we celebrate the gifts of every believer. Every believer has some gift. No one has all the gifts. Okay? I love seeing the future, having the vision about where the church is going. You give me a blank wall, blank piece of paper, I'm as happy as I will ever be. Just let me think about how it's going to break down and stuff. I can tell you how it's going to be. All right? You heard me talk about neighborhood. Jay and Aaron went to a conference. Guess what the conference about next year is? Guess what the subject is? Neighborhood churches. So I'm sitting in a meeting with them. I said, you traveled all the way to hear what I've already told you? What is this? Okay? I love that. Now, the details of how we get there, I don't care. Now, I can do it. I hate doing it. All right? You're better at it than I am, so I need to involve you here to work out the details of how we get there. This is who you are, Mike. This is what I need you to do. This is what I want you to do. This is when you and I work together and we are happiest. This is who you are. Anything that is not His word, I take out of my life. Okay? No, that's not true. Jesus said that's not true. This is what's true of me. I'm going to put that in. Whenever that happens, you're born again. The word born again, born from above, doesn't happen just one time. Sure, there is the initial time where you come to follow Christ, and then there's all the other times where you're born again and again and again. To the time when we will cross the finish line and forever be in His presence. At home, finally, with Him. This is what I want. So I study and I focus on Jesus. I have conversations with Jesus where He tells me who I am, what my purpose is. And He grinds that so deeply into my life that I'm able to live that purpose no matter what else happens, just as He was able to do that, despite the world rejecting Him. Some of you are waiting for that overwhelming emotional experience. Funny thing is, you've never made any decision in your life based on overwhelming emotion. Why would you make this decision based on overwhelming emotion? Jesus, did you see it? There's only one person who knows the way to heaven. Did you see it? It was right there. The only one who can ascend to heaven is the one who has descended. The only one that can get you to heaven is the only Son who came from there. Jesus came from heaven, found you, found me. He's the only one who knows the way back. Now, we use this word heaven and hell, and if you're like me, you grew up where you were held over held like a marshmallow every invitation time, you know. So, and I've had invitations so long where we're back in the back, we'd finally flip a coin, somebody go down and confess something so we could go home. I've been in those services, you know. Hell isn't a place of everlasting fire. That was a poetic way of trying to tell you something that cannot be described. A fire that never goes out, burning that never eases up. What John in Revelation is saying to you is, I don't know how to write down what it is to be in a place where God no longer is. Oh, I'll tell you, I've told you before, I have seen hell. I saw it with my dad. My grandmother had hardening of the arteries. Remember, we called it hardening of the arteries. She had Alzheimer's. She had forgotten my dad. My dad, every time we would visit her, he would get on his hands and knees in front of her, and he would take her face and go, "Mama, Mama, it's Marshall." And she would pat his head and said, "You're such a cute boy." And my daddy would crumble every stinking time because his mom didn't know him. Can you imagine standing in front of Christ, scars in his hand, you're looking in his eyes, and he tells you, "I don't know you." Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego taught us that the fire is not the problem. The absence of God is unbearable. Some of you don't have to wait to be in hell, do you? You're there already. You have rejected God so many times that now he is leaving you alone, and his absence is unbearable. You have to be born again. You can't get there from here. You have to start all over again. And we are grateful to God that he gives us this morning, this moment, to start. Let's pray again. I don't want to put you on the spot, don't want to embarrass you. But I wish I could go person to person and look you dead in the eye when I ask this question. Have you been born again? Have you made the decision that Jesus is who he says he is? Have you made the decision that you're going to follow Jesus no matter the cost? And if you haven't, let's talk about it. He's the only one who knows the way home. If you're following anybody else, you're lost. Come talk to us in the Welcome Center. I'll be over there. Several of my friends will be over there waiting to talk to you. Don't leave without having made this decision. Lord Jesus, every life is now open before you, every heart. So we pray now the choices we make are exactly what you want.